Hello.
It's wonderful to be with you all today. Grateful that we've got an opportunity to feed back to you about our time in Zambia. We just sort of... It's funny, isn't it? Just thinking about what Jared said there. I mean, God's love is so enormous, but just thinking about the love that we have from you, I mean, that's a bit much to grasp in itself. So how much more, God loves us. But it's such a wonderful privilege to be, part of Grace Church and to have been so supported by you. I feel an ongoing frustration in an inability to communicate really sort of what's in my heart to all of you and what it means to us that you've been behind us and to sort of show you what we've been doing. But anyway, God is with us, and we'll do our best now to try and convey at least some of that. So Kath's going to be primarily guiding this, so I'll hand over to her.
You'll get Phil when we're on the church weekend away, so this is my turn. Thanks, Callum. If you could do the next slide. So what we're hoping to do today is tell you a bit about what you guys have done, what Grace Church has done at Mukingi over the last couple of years, because it really has been like the tip of an iceberg. We were the bit like above the surface of the water. You guys have been what's been underneath the water, and we are so grateful that we've been part of you. So we want to tell you so that you guys know this is what we've been doing as a church. We'll then do a little bit about some of the things that we've learnt during our time there, just to share it back to you, and then go a little bit into what's going to happen next. So we're going to start off with just some of the really sort of basic stuff of what we've did. If we could have the next slide, Callum. Phil's going to come up and talk a little about what you guys have enabled him to do during his time at Mukingi.
Right, okay. I'm back again a bit sooner than I was expecting there. This is just going to be a very quick whistle-stop tour through the things that we have done. If we go to the next one then, Callum. So the first thing we were doing was building a guest house, so that's the foundations, and then the next one shows you the walls going up. The next one, there's Mr. Kawaya, the contractor who I was very blessed to work with, and there's the finished view from the front after the landscapers had done their job, and there's the... spot the two smiley faces I managed to design into the plumbing on the rear of the wall. So that was the first thing, and then the next one should be the extension to cancer screening, so again, sort of groundwork stage. Next one should be the concrete slab, and then the walls going up on that one, and then the final results, so that was that. And then there's extension to physio department, so we extended their room, gave them almost 100% more space, so that's the walls going up there. Didn't have a final photo on that one, I don't know why. So one of the main things was sorting out a biomedical room. When I got there, this was the state of the workshop, and that's the space that they had to mend the medical equipment in. I mean, this space may have been okay for cars and bits and pieces, but we got them a room for the biomedical equipment, which should be the next one. I think I sent that photo over at one point in one of our infrequent communications. On to the next one, donated them some tools out of my sort of existing stock. But then the next one, we're very blessed. One or two people in particular were very generous in particular donations. We were able to buy quite a number of other tools for them to use specifically for the mending of the medical equipment. So that was that. So such equipment as the dental chair, this was, in the dentist tray, there's all sorts of pipes and tubes and things going on under there, and had to do a bit of work on that one. And then we've got an anaesthetic machine, and yes, keep them rolling. The autoclave caused me lots of issues, but the next one should show, they'd not used the correct water for that, and so it all got all this calcification on the inside. That was after I tried to clean it out, and that's the new autoclave. Even that had some setup teething problems, patient monitoring machine, keep them rolling. Orbital vibration thing for the laboratory there to settle out. I don't know what they do with them, but I just fix them. Blood pressure monitor. Kath knows more about these machines than me. This is the X-ray machine. I haven't got a picture of the whole machine, but this was the bit that the actual X-ray film sits behind, and the lead sheathing there had all got bashed, so we had to do a job of repairing that. And oxygen concentrators, lots of them there, which kept playing up. So, lots to fix on that front. This is air conditioning unit, the outside unit, various issues with the air cons. And the next one, I think, is the inside unit. So all sorts, possibly they were having... sticking fans and all sorts of funny things going on there.
Places like pharmacy have to be kept at controlled temperature to keep all the drugs safe, so that was why the air conditioning was quite good to...
This was laundry department. Loved working with the guys in laundry. They were very... friendly, helpful, and faith-filled whenever I went along and there's a problem with the machine. They say, we know you're going to fix it, Phil. And not sure about that, but I've never seen this machine before, but we'll have a look. And they had six machines in there altogether, and during my time I worked on every single one of them at one point or another. But they were just fantastic sort of customers, if you like, Mr. Jackson and Mr. Fumper. There, there's a local telephone exchange box got burnt, and so had to dig in there, find out what's going on, and managed to get some replacement cards to slot in, so that was got the phones working again, because otherwise you were having people running around between wards saying, what's going on, or send this patient, or... that's the mortuary unit. So there's air conditioning unit on top and dead bodies underneath. On to the next one. Example of the existing wiring in a pump control panel. But then the next one was one that I managed to wire up. So that was fun. On to the next one. Water project. So I've got a little example here. We don't really appreciate the fact that when we turn our taps on, we can get nice clean drinking water out, as Theo has been sipping away earlier. At McKingie, it comes out of the ground and it's quite dirty. This is the springs area where the water flows up from. Onto the next one should show in the background there the reservoirs and the pump room where we collect the water and control the pumps. So there's inside the pump control room. The next one should show some the water pump inside the reservoir. Then the next, difficult to make out, there's two pumps there. The one on the left was in for about 18 months and had got clogged up with all the mud from the dirty water. The one on the right we put in instead, and then we worked with the guys to clean out the that muddy one. So that's now the spare. Then I was quite pleased with that picture. That's a pressure cutoff switch. The pumps pump and then automatically cut out when the header tanks are full. And the header tank hopefully should be next. There's one as was. Obviously, the roof wasn't in too good condition. We had a very generous donor from New Zealand who donated some linings for the four main circular concrete header tanks to stop them leaking. We managed to do that, strip the roof off, then on to the next one, start installing the new roof structure. The next one, you can see the liner there, and there's three water outlets. So we're able to tidy up a lot of the plumbing on the output of those. And then the next set shows the other side of the hill where the tank's on that side, so the guy's getting ready to go. Preparations on the inside of the tank as the outlet's going in, and the next one. That's the line, the sort of underlay for the liner, and then the next one, there's the liner roll of liner, and then the next one should, there we go. You can at least see the underside of the new roof. Failed to get a picture of the top of the roof, the outside, so sorry about that. But anyway, that's a very quick whistle-stop tour for you to see. I have to say this, it is us together, and because, every day doing something, I was aware of, one person or another, or you collectively, being behind us, enabling us to do that, you know, being the hands on the ground there doing stuff. So, you know, I really feel that, you know, it's not just me and Kath, it is us. And so, thank God that he's enabled us to work together as a body to do these things. That's quite a task-orientated view of our time, and I'll hand over to Kath, and hopefully there'll be some more people.
Okay, so that you can just about see the new roof on the tank there. I think this is about the only photo we've got of the new roof. Anyway, so, yeah, carrying on. Before we go through all the medical ones, if any of you are squeamish, or you don't want your children to see squeamish photos, they're not awful, you might want to turn away until I start talking about the people, just if you are of a sort of gentle disposition anyway. So if we go through, so I was in theatres mainly doing medical work, mainly surgical, because I am a surgeon, but I did have to cross boundaries a few times. This was just the main operating theatre, and our anaesthetist, who is also the hospital administrator and is absolutely amazing at all she gets done, but she was just giving someone a spinal anaesthetic there. So now's your chance to just look away now if you don't like squeamish photos. We'll go through them. The first one shows just... you haven't got to. You can open your eyes. The top left is the main ward that I was on, which was female surgical and paediatric ward, paediatric surgical ward. Then the top right was my clinic room. I did clinic once a week and probably saw between 25 and 30 patients generally on clinic mornings. And they would come in with just anything and everything. And I often had to have the textbook next to me to look up all the stuff that wasn't general surgery, that was all the other surgical disciplines. The bottom two are the male surgical ward. It had a revamp, so we've got some nice, hopefully you can see a little bit, just the mosquito nets above all the beds, patients there, and then two of the nurses at the nursing station. So it was looking really quite nice when we left, because they just had it revamped. Okay, so the next photo is some of the orthopaedic stuff that I had to deal with. That was outside my comfort zone. Then next slide was lots of infection. Lots and lots of the surgery was draining infection. And again, I had to look up a lot of stuff on that. Next one after that, this was just a bit of plastic surgery. Next one, I did get the opportunity to work with a cleft lip and palate repair surgeon. He was a plastic surgeon by training. And he came twice a year and did just days of operating. He worked so hard, but he was incredible in what he could get done. And then the other operation was one that I was taught to do, which was again outside my nice little home in the tummy, was up on operating on the neck with another surgeon. Next slide. These were some general surgical patients. A nice, happy, smiling lady who had her hernia repaired, and a young lad who had a bladder stone taken out. You can probably start looking now, because there's not much that's bad after this. Next slide. Just this is Dr. Paul. He is an American surgeon who comes out every year and gives the other surgeon a break. I unfortunately realised I don't have any photos of Dr. Friend, who was my colleague, probably because we were both... I only have half of him in a photo, that's right, Sammy. But we were probably just working all the time, and I didn't... we were too busy to take photos. But Paul was great at teaching. He was just an amazing teacher, and he was a real asset. He was there when I started working, and it was just wonderful to be able to learn so much in all these areas that I wasn't used to. Next slide. These are some of the theatre staff in theatre. We had a meal together just before we left, one of the theatre sisters. So, yeah, they were a great team, so experienced, and it was just a joy to work with them. Next slide just shows some of the other things. I did spend a month on the obstetric ward, just trying to get used to obstetrics, which, again, I hadn't done since 1999 or something. And I did a little bit of on-call, but not much, because with the boys it proved difficult. Oh, babies. Sorry, babies. Yeah, if I say thank you, just interrupt and ask questions when I get a bit confusing. And then they also had the sort of premature babies unit there. So that was a mum with her premature baby just about to go home, which was very exciting. The top photo is me on the ward. Theo used to come with me at weekends, but only right at the beginning. After that, it wasn't really on for him to be seeing all those gruesome photos in real life. once he could see round over my shoulder, then he stopped coming. And it also wasn't fair on all the nursing staff who have to leave their kids at home for me to bring mine in. So I had to be sensitive towards that. And in the bottom picture, I learned all sorts of different things. And this was cutting and folding up sheets of gauze to then be sterilised, because we didn't get ready packed gauze that you could just clean. So while someone else was operating, I just stood there and folded gauze and chatted, which was quite fun. Next slide. So what else did you guys enable us to do? One of the things that you enabled us to do was, which we sort of was a bit of a surprise, was show hospitality. There are loads of short-term volunteers who... I'll let Callum fiddle with that. But there are lots of people who came out and stayed with us. My parents did come up to visit, so I included them in this bit on hospitality. But there were probably half a dozen of people who we didn't... get to host, who I didn't get pictures of. And then it was just wonderful to be able to see people, have them come in, be part of our family, encourage them when they were struggling and far from home. Some of our guests were not quite so welcome as others, as you can see. But it was just a wonderful part of being there, was all the people who came through our home and we got to know and spend time with. And, that was a real blessing. Some of them you know. Big Sam was a joy to have with us. That was a snake, which is really fat with a rat inside. So it was really slow moving because it had a rat or mouse or something in it, which meant that Phil was able to dispatch it quite swiftly. So, the boys got to know people. Oh, this was a tour group of 42 people who came and stayed on the mission site. And there were only about 4 or 5 of us around at the time. And so we had to feed and cater for them for 3 days. But they raised an enormous amount of money for the hospital for a new theatre. So, that was them all setting off in their cars with tents on the top. And there's Superman Grace being taught to us. And, so lots and lots and lots of people came through. And it was just a joy. We're near the end. I wasn't quite sure how long it would take. Some of them came back, so we saw them again. They came back every, a year later. It was great. I think that's the end. Oh, no, there isn't. Oh, there's one. This is Dr. Montali. Dr. Montali is just one of my heroes. He is a Zambian orthopaedic surgeon, and he comes up every month and works all day on the Thursday seeing clinic patients, operates all day on Friday, often late into the night, 10, 11, sometimes midnight, operating, goes and sees the patients on Saturday morning and leaves back to Lusaka, where he's based. And then we look after the patients post-op. You can WhatsApp him a question if you don't know, what he wants done with his patients. But it was an incredible support, because it really meant patients who would not have been able to have treatment could have treatment there in the hospital. So, that was our photo. And the boys absolutely loved Dr. Montali too. So, I think that's all the hospitality photos. So what did Sammy and Theo do while we were there? We did try to do a bit of school. Next slide shows... Phil teaching them some electronics, as you do when you're at school. Then we played all sorts of interesting games. That was a spaceship, I think, or an aeroplane. I'm not quite sure which. Spaceship, okay, thanks, Sammy. Then the next slide, we played lots in the garden as well. That was our copper mine, which they spent hours and hours and weeks digging in the garden. And eventually we did find a lump of copper, which was very exciting. Next slide. Lots of playing outside, getting dirty. Next slide. Okay, so what we learnt. We learnt an awful lot. We wanted to share just a few things with you that we felt were good to share. The next slide, I think, is... Oh, yeah. So we start off, Theo learnt how to walk. That was something we learnt there. And they learnt how to climb. Theo climbed... Yeah, that's true. Theo learnt to climb before he could walk. That's very true. Lots of climbing. Next slide. Theo learnt to get away with dressing with such style, as you can see. He doesn't care, which is great. Next slide. Now this is my... For all those people getting bored. Are any of the kids here? Does anyone like cake? Would anyone who likes cake like to come to the front? Right. Okay, there you go, Sammy. You can have that. That's your bit of cake. There you go. There we go. Charlotte, you can have that. You get the sugar. Lucky you. That's quite a nice one. Okay. Esther, do you want some flour? Right. Okay. Matt, some butter. So these are all the ingredients for a cake. Should we make a chocolate cake? Who wants the cocoa? There you go. So this is all cake. There you go. You can have an egg. Who wants an egg? Seth, you can have an egg. So you've got your cake. Are you not eating it then, guys? You see, all of these bits of ingredients are a bit useless on their own. And what we need to do, in order to make cake, everything needs to play its part. So we need all these things. We need to mix them together on their own. You know, some of them are quite nice. The sugar's all right, isn't it? I'm okay with the butter. That's baking powder. It really isn't nice. One of the things we learnt was that we need everyone. We need to be part of a community. The culture out there is very community-oriented, and people just work together in a way that we in this country have sort of forgotten. So one of the things that we learnt was how to work together as community and the need to be open and honest and vulnerable for that community to work. So to make our egg, we need to crack our egg. Should we crack this egg? Yeah. Oh, it's the boiled one. That was a bit of a Russian roulette. So, you know, if we're hard inside, it doesn't work either. You can't make a cake with a boiled egg. So we need to be soft and vulnerable and open with each other. So do you want to shove those things back in the basket? And I did, I'm not that mean, I do have some cake here. So if you guys want to grab a piece and hand it round, there are some paper napkins, and you can each grab a napkin and grab a piece of cake, and kids get first, and if there's any left, the adults are allowed a piece, only if there's leftovers. So there's another plate here, and you guys can be in charge of handing around. Poor Charlie, you're holding it so you don't get a piece of cake. You'll have to have the plate at the end. Do you guys want to hand it round and see? So that was the one thing. These pictures that are showing in the background are just the incredible community that we were part of. And we could talk for ages about all these wonderful people that we had the privilege to be with. And Sammy, give one away, please. And just, you know, people being part of our household. And, you know, just the relationships were the important thing. And I think this is one of the biggest thing we've learned. And, you know, Phil put it this way. He said, there's just no point doing anything if it's at the expense of relationship. And I think that was one of our biggest take-home messages. Thanks, Ben. I just let chaos reign. But anyway, that's okay. It's cake. So next, if we could get on to the next bit. Thanks, Callum. This one was really for Steve and Joel, who got attacked by army ants. We had the army ants come into theatre, so I'm going to have to send them this slide just to remind them of their experience of getting attacked by army ants. Next one, what did we learn? We learnt how to read. Sammy's learnt how to read while we're there. Theo can count to four, but we do go to eight after four, so we're still working on that one. Next one, we learnt Daddy was building things. Sammy and Theo also did a fair bit of building. Next one, what else did we learn? They learnt to ride various bikes, and Sammy could ride a bike when we went there, but he could learn to ride over snakes. He ran over a snake and killed it, much to his delight. next one. Then, oh, right, now I forgot to get the kids started on this, so this might not work. It's not going to work, but don't worry. So I've got a box of Lego here, and what I was going to do, but I forgot, so they can just play with it anyway, was to say to the kids, here's the Lego, go on, make a Kinsanza. And, you know, someone would say, well, you know, what's that? Okay, I might give you a hint. It's a cooking shelter. I give the box of Lego. But if you go to the next slide, I bet you none of them would have come up with that. And this was just a little way of trying to show what we discovered, that actually when people have a vision of what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve, actually that gives the opportunity for excellence. When people don't have that vision, they don't know what they're aiming for, whether it's in medical work, whether it's, you know, you've only ever seen trees, which are sort of straight, so your tiling is sort of straight and not, you know, dead straight. You need to give people a vision for what they're aiming for in order for them to have that opportunity to excel at stuff. And that was one of the lessons that we've sort of learned. And, it, you know, it goes in our own lives as well. It's only when we have a vision for what God's calling us to that we have that opportunity to really pursue excellence. Next slide. I learnt how to cut hair, which was not my favourite job. Next slide. The boys also learnt how to fix things like Daddy does. Next slide. We also learnt that providing resources isn't necessarily the answer. I really should be getting Phil to talk about this one. But if you just throw resources at a situation, you just chuck the money out. Who'd like a bit? There you go. Have a bit of money. It doesn't really get to the bottom of the problem. Have a bit. There you go. Got some money. You can just throw it around, but it doesn't achieve as much as if you lay it on a foundation of character and Christlikeness. And the picture just at the top there is of one of the people who just had that discipleship poured into him as a child. And as a youth, and now he is doing amazing things in the Kasempa area. And Phil has got some more slides, which you'll see, of people who you can just see God using, and they just have that character in them. So when they're given education or given an opportunity, they really go for it and really make a difference. That was one of the things we learnt. Next slide, bit more plumbing. Phil down guddling in the mud trying to fix our stopcock. And the other thing we learnt was if you've got a problem, sometimes you can come up with some creative solutions. So for a little while, that was how we filled our toilet system, was with a tap. Next slide. I learnt how to go to the market and buy things in the market. Next thing. Some of us learnt to swim and make rafts that float. And one of us, we discovered, had never jumped into the water from the edge of the pool in 40 years. And I'm not saying names here. But we taught him how to jump into the water. Next slide. One of the other things we learnt. I know I was too busy jumping in and having fun to take photos. One of the things that I particularly learnt was how to... that actually what you need to do is base your identity, who you are, on who you are in Christ and not on what you do. That's a really important thing to realise, that actually what you do isn't important. It's who you are in Jesus. Next one. We learnt how to fight bushfires and the next year to make much better fire breaks. Next slide. We learnt that you don't need lots of stuff to have fun. That was some bits of recycling attached to the fence and a little house that the boys around had made Sammy for his birthday just out of some cardboard. And then we had, because we didn't have a laptop for the boys, I made them a laptop that they could use markers on, and we had lots of fun with that. Next slide. We learnt to leave our reputation in God's hands. This again was one of the things that I learnt, that when people make assumptions about you, when you feel like people are talking about you or saying things that aren't true about you, it's really hard. And my natural inclination was to want to justify myself and say, but, and stand up for injustice and all this stuff. But actually, you can leave your reputation in God's hands. It's safe. And just look at Jesus and how he reacted. He was silent before his critics, and God vindicated him, and we can trust God to vindicate our reputations. Next slide. We learnt to say goodbye. We said goodbye to a lot of people, yeah, which was hard, and we learned to grieve. The next slide shows a little kitten that we'd come to love and who went missing, and Phil lost his dad while we were away, so there were some sad times too. Next slide. But we learnt how much God loves us, and we learnt about him and his love for us. So we wanted to share some of those things that we've learnt with you. I can't quite remember what the next slide is, but I think that is that's handing over to Phil to tell you what happens next.
Okie doke. Sammy, can you get that? Thank you. Right, so we've had really quite an extraordinary time these last couple of years. It was definitely the place and the timing that God had for us to be there. But within about sort of 6 or 8 months to go, we were praying about what's the future, Lord? Do you want us to continue being at McKinney and serving there, which we could well have done, or are you moving us on? Over the following couple of months, he made it very clear to us that it was would be time to move on after the 2 years that we'd committed to. So, this is a picture of the workshop guys in the workshop at the beginning of the day where we met before going off to do our various jobs. So I've been alongside these men for a couple of years. During that time, I've learnt that this is very much the context that God had been preparing me for. So I'm convinced now, because when I went out, I was a bit unsure would there be anything for me to do. Well, anyway, you know the answer to that one. But my frustration was that there was a lot of giving of fish. My heart would be very much more to teach to fish, to train and disciple. And I had minimal time with this bunch of guys because of the demands of the hospital. I was sort of praying about that. So if we go on to the next slide, there's some people who give me great hope. Here's Mr. Cassius. He was a bricklayer, but a very capable, switched-on chap. And so it was good to work alongside him, and he really sort of took on board, some of my approach and specific teaching. And then the next one is of Mr. Dixon, who was doing a biomedical engineering training degree. While I was there, so it was although that biomedical room and those tools are sort of for him to be using now that he's got his education. But the other couple of dozen guys in the workshop there, they're not they don't have such a privileged background to us. And I was thinking about it, came up with 8 different reasons as to why the guys there weren't achieving the job that we would expect. So I've come to see a lot of the issues there, but then as we were praying about what happens next, we went over to Makushi to visit Kath's parents, and while I was there, on to the next slide, I was chatting with someone from Foundation Zambia. Next slide shows him and his family. We've known Ben and Kat for 7 years now. They've become good friends, and their families are similar sort of age to ours. Chatting with him about, God seems to be moving us on, but I'm not sure what to. To my surprise, he invited me to join with Foundations Zambia. It started with farming, Foundations for Farming, or Farming God's Way. But their heart is very much discipleship, and farming is just a means to a medium through which they do their discipleship. Although, albeit it's has a very useful output in terms of improving the yields that people are getting from their crops. So I think the next one is of Dan. So we've also got Dan and Mary and their 2 children here. 2 children, not 4. Couldn't find a picture, just the 4 of them. They're also good friends and working with foundations. But Ben and Dan are at capacity with what they're doing with their training. Ben said, well, we could do with a technical person as well. So how about joining with us? So next slide. So they've also been branching out a bit into finances and families, education and training. And I'm hoping that maybe that green or blue leaf will become a sort of technical maintenance, sort of practical leaf. So on to the next one. So at the moment, they've been going around in villages, teaching the farming and the discipleship there, as well as next slide. They've got a 2-year intern program, so those guys who seem to be particularly keen, they give them 2 years of training. So at their centre of excellence, difficult to make out from here, but they've got a wonderful sort of demo plot of what you can do with your land if you maximise everything, and then what happens to your yields if you don't fertilise and if you don't rotate your crops and all these sorts of things. So that's their centre of excellence. The next one is their training centre. So they've got some infrastructure, but they're hoping that, God willing, in the future they'll be able to expand to a residential training site, at which point they'll need somebody else to assist them with establishing that. So I'm trying to think now what the next slide was, Callum. They've got an excellent model of foundations for this model of a house. So this is the approach that they take. And it was fascinating being at McKinghy, looking at the issues, thinking about, you know, what do you need to convey to people to train them up. There was a lot of overlap between foundations is teaching and my thinking. So if we go on to the next slide, we start off with a foundation of Jesus. Whatever we're doing in life, that needs to be our foundation. But then they teach onto the next, that we can have this house where you've got central supports of faithfulness and giving, being faithful with what you've got and being generous with what you've got. And as we do that, we'll then have that abundance that will come from that, surrounded by these four walls symbolising principles of being on time, doing things to a high standard, without waste and with joy. Then on to the next one. On top of that, then, you can put sort of whatever technology or teaching. So they've been doing farming primarily, but I'll be looking at the sort of maintenance, practical skills aspects of things, because there's, over the years, there's been an awful lot of development gone into Africa. Lots of things been established with hospitals and schools and other things, but there hasn't been the training to look after it well. So on the farming side, you've got all that natural stuff that God has provided for us, and so they've been teaching the guys how to use that well to get good yields. For me, it'll be looking more at, right, this is the existing infrastructure that God's provided through, you know, people from the West or wherever. How can we look after that well to get more out of it, to be good stewards of it? So if we go on to the next one, I think that might be the final one. So a couple of people from Kasempa, the village next to the hospital where we've been. On the right is Dee, who's a missionary working with Foundations for Farming. So she's a SIM missionary, so we've been in her sort of camp from that point of view, but she's been doing Foundations for Farming. And so we'll still be in contact with her. And then there's Pastor Kashiki, who is one of the local pastors, works with Dee quite a bit. He's very much doing Foundations for Farming as well. So we're hoping that God will provide us with some opportunity in future to maybe go back to the hospital, reconnect with guys like this. Maybe for me to bring along a guy that I've been training up. And I mean, it would be wonderful to feed some people sort of back into places like the hospital. And would also be opportunity maybe for Kath to give some relief on the surgical side. We'll just have to see what God has in store for us. But that's what the next step is looking like. So I'm very much looking forward to, you know, really getting alongside people more, discipling them, training them, and see what happens from there. So I think that's the end. Is it? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's, thankfully, at last we're at the end of our hundreds of pictures and things. Thank you for your patience and your time in listening to us. It's been great to share with you. Thank you again. So if you've got any questions or comments or anything, or silence, then you know, feel free. Right, so the autoclave is a key bit of equipment in theatre for sterilising the surgical equipment and other things for the wards. So if that goes down, then the hospital really struggles to do anything. There was one point where neither the older one nor the new one were working, so they had to make a plan for a couple of days. The autoclave is a very key bit of kit, and I sort of, that was one of the things that I felt sort of as I was on call the whole time for. Whenever I was at the hospital, I might get a call at any point, particularly at night when they tended to run the autoclave, because it goes up to high temperatures and you don't want things getting even hotter during the day, so run it at night, and so then you're just about to get a bed and get a phone call, jolly thing's not working again. So that was a fun one. Well, yes, if I hadn't mended the phone, I'd have been all right, wouldn't I?
So in terms of giving to you guys, supporting you, is it still through SIM or will it be through foundations?
Right, thank you, Noam. Yes, so we'll be officially concluding with SIM at the end of June. Yeah, we, as it happened, it seemed to be the obvious thing not to continue with them. But we'll be setting up, in the process of setting up a stewardship individual account for ourselves. So stewardship will manage our finances from this end, claiming gift aid and things, and passing it on to us in the same way that SIM had been doing. So I can let you know details once the account has been set up with them. Thank you. Right, yes, indeed. Thank you, Rita. Indeed, it is a voluntary position, so we'll continue to be missionaries in the same sort of capacity. We're blessed with being able to support ourselves about two-thirds of the amount that that we require. It's wonderful to have the partnership with those of you who are able to partner with us financially as well to,
The financial partnership has been wonderful, but the prayer partnership has just been so crucial for us. I think that's another thing is, just seeing God answering prayer when we've had an issue and prayed or asked, a couple of people to pray or asked, our Facebook group of supporters or whatever it is. We've just seen God answering prayer. And, that has been another thing that it's really important to say thank you to all of those of you who've prayed and persistently prayed for us or even just every now and then prayed for us. We've appreciated it all. Thank you.
Yeah, it makes a tremendous difference. And there have been times where we've been struggling, and then after a while, normally Kath will say, "Oh, flipping heck, we need to get people to pray, don't we?" And it's remarkable how quickly things resolve once you've got people sort of praying specifically into the situation. So, thank you for those who've answered the specific prayers, as well as generally those who have been faithfully praying.
I'm not going to work for the first year. One of the lessons that we learnt at Mukingi was that we'd really jumped into it really quickly. I mean, it was the right thing to do, that we were only there for 2 years, and so I really did just need to get stuck in. But you can, having done that, we can see the benefits of moving somewhere for a bit longer, taking time to set things up. Sammy will be starting school. He's going into the third and last term of grade two, with kids who've all been at school for 18 months. So although he's had a fantastic time doing things like electronics with his dad or whatever, I think that will be a little bit of a bumpy road for him. So I need to be around for him. Then Theo will hopefully be starting at preschool in the January, and we're going to need to be setting up a home. The place we're going to stay at initially won't have any mains electricity. We'll be running on solar, and I think that will just take a little bit of a time to get used to running a house with solar and not having electricity and water pumped from the river. So, I think I'll have a lot on my hands. I think the other thing is there are enormous number of opportunities of things I can do there, and I can imagine that if I just went and got stuck in, I would end up in over my head. So we're going to spend a year just figuring out how life is functioning, what Phil's commitments are, what the school commitments are, what capacity we've got, see what the opportunities are so that we can really pray over them and see which are the things that God's calling me to. And I'm sure I'll be working again soon, but we've put a sort of a boundary, not for the first year, just to get us settled as a family. So yes, I will be working, but not straight away. I'm not sure what, because I could go on for about 10 minutes on all the different things that I could possibly do. We'll just see what the Lord shows us to do.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've been to Kenya, although I'm grateful I have to do it, but I feel like we've been in it with you. So
thank you.
Also, thank you for modelling when there's difficult stuff and when it's boring and when there's just too much need, you have just kept saying yes, yes. To God, and yes. I'm really, really grateful.
Thank you. It is everyone playing their parts. I mean, I do keep coming back to all the, you know, Grace Church values, which were drummed into me somehow. You know, prayer as a foundation, everyone playing their part. You know, it's all of us together. Yeah. Being genuine, open and friendly, that was the other one. You know, I kind of look at them and think, yeah, that just has all been true. And it has been a Grace Church thing. It has not been us doing it. It has been Grace Church out there doing all of this. It's been a corporate thing.
But thank you, Helen. It's reassuring to sort of hear that you do feel as though you've been a part of things, because that was my... I think we could maybe do a better job on the communication. I don't know, but we'll...
We could do better.
Okie doke. Right.